Hello there, boys and girls, and welcome to another episode of We Got This. And this time I'm talking to Yasmina Pushkarić, who is the head of people and culture at Lemax. And Lemax provides a web-based travel software for tour operators and destination management companies to help them automate sales, bookings, itineraries, and so on and so forth. And as you can imagine, working and being a company in the travel industry in 2020 and 2021 wasn't easy. And this is exactly what we talk about. Yasmina shares some of her insights and learnings from everything that's been going on in the last 18, 24 months for the company. How did the company do? What changes did they have to go through? How did they support their employees and their customers to basically to continue to operate? And Yasmina shares some fantastic insights and learnings, one of which was that the pandemic and the situation has shone a light on some of the issues that before might have been overlooked or deprioritized, but now had to be looked at closer and dealt with in terms of how they operate, in terms of their processes, their practices, in terms of leadership and leaders becoming more coaches rather than to-do list managers and so on and so forth. So she does share some fantastic learnings and insights. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Yasmina Pushkarić. We Got This showcases individuals and organizations that create people-focused workplace cultures to help it become the norm rather than the exception. It's something that will require a mindset shift, and probably not something that any of us can do alone. But together, we got this. Welcome. My usual first question for all my guests, and that is, when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
First of all, thank you for giving me an opportunity to talk about myself and some of the things that we do here. I didn't hear this question for quite a long time, I must admit. And in one of the phases, I think I had a dream, as most of the girls, and that is to be either a hairdresser or a teacher. That was the two most common options, as I know, looking at the girl population in young age. But in other phases, I think I didn't have a certain profession on my mind. I knew that I want to be in some kind of a support profession and working with people. And at the end, that led me to a psychology as a university, and then at the end, human resources as a profession. I listened to one of your podcasts as a preparation for this one, and I heard that you said that you also notice the pattern that people who wants to work with people and support others usually end up in the human resources field, and that was my path as well. I didn't have a certain profession in my mind, so...
Definitely. There is a pattern. And I've actually, a few days ago, somebody put it up on LinkedIn about how unfair it is that we ask children this question: what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'm kind of in two minds about that, whether it is fair or it's unfair. Yes, because I can see the aspect of trying to pigeonhole people straight away from the moment they're little, right? Yeah. I get that aspect. But the other aspect is the dreaming aspect. So I want to be this. I want to be an astronaut. I want to do this. I want to do... You know, that's what kids are great at, that imagination that they've got that takes them wherever. And that's kind of what potentially can guide them. I think it's what we as adults do with that information. We try maybe inadvertently, unconsciously, subconsciously lead them towards a certain path. Obviously, you know, parents passing on their unfulfilled dreams and things like that, that's the other aspect, right? But I think the element of dreaming in a very broad sense, like kind of what that means, so, you know, as we said, the support role, you know, supporting, making other people's lives better in whatever way that means. Because support, obviously, is not just HR. We happen to be working on the human resources field, but it doesn't mean that. But I definitely noticed a lot of patterns there. A lot of patterns is around people wanting to give joy, bring joy to other people as well. I had two guests on two separate occasions who wanted to be ice cream van drivers, and they never made the connection to what they do now of how they impact people's lives. And it was a fascinating connection for me and for them as well.
It's interesting that you mentioned actually the feelings that we all somehow want either us or others to feel. And from the parent point of view, I have two boys, and also it's natural to ask them, okay, what do you want to be when you grow up? But professions are changing within each day. So basically what they understand in that age is either a fireman, a doctor, or a teacher. And that's basically most of that. But when you ask them what a feeling do you want to feel when you will be an adult, and somehow something inside that definitely gives another perspective. I agree with you.
Very, very true. I think what you want to feel, or what will bring you joy, what will bring you fulfillment, and kind of what you want to experience in life. I think that those are the important questions. And actually, that's a very, very important thing that you've just mentioned about the jobs that our kids now, and mm-hmm. when they grow up, it's a completely different world that they're going to grow up into compared to us as a previous generation, right? When we were little in the, I don't know, 70s, 80s or 90s, the mm-hmm. progress and the jobs that we were expecting to potentially go into 20 years down the line would still be there roughly in that form. However, mm-hmm. there's obviously with technology, with AI and everything else coming on board, there's going to be a dramatic shift that's accelerated drastically. And by 2030, 2040, 2050, mm-hmm. majority of the jobs, I don't want to say they're going to be obsolete, but they're going to be completely different.
I completely agree.
So, right. And on top of that,
this even happens in the moment when you enroll a certain university and decide what will be your area. By the end of finishing, you actually can change basically a few different thoughts on, okay, what will you do with this profession in life. So not only kids to adults, but also students from the working population, it's a shorter time frame, but at the end, that's our job at the end, to somehow help them to choose what is the area.
Often as I see that potential pigeonholing, because I can't help but things like, what do people, and I mean it with the greatest respect, what do people who are 18 and 19 know about the world and what they want to do in life? Very, very little, right? They haven't experienced enough, and they need that process. And going to university at that age and coming out 3 or 5 years later into a job, hardly worked back in the day. I don't think it's going to work going forwards. And then you've got a classic example that I'm one of them, is when you finish your first degree and you're 22, you still don't know what you want to do with your life. So what do you do? You go and do another degree, which is exactly what I've done. Uh-huh. Exactly what I've done. And I know a lot of people who did that. And, you know, at 25, I arrived, okay, I've got a better idea of what I want to do. Right? And actually, come to think of it, I do none of the things that I've been trained to. But there you go. I wanted to say, it's sort of come full circle. I can connect the dots. Teaching degree, project management, training, yes, all kind of comes together in one way or another, but not the classic. You've gone to do engineering and you're an engineer. Didn't work in my case.
Connecting the dots can happen, as Steve Jobs said, only backwards, not
forwards. Exactly. Only when you look backwards. Hindsight is a beautiful thing. Connecting the dots is a fantastic thing as well. We discussed what we want to talk to you about. And as much as I want to talk to you because I enjoy talking to you, I also know that you've got a fantastic experience with what you've gone through with Lemax over the last 18 months, 24 months, give or take. And before we go into that, if you could tell us a little bit about Lemax to start with, to give us a bit of context. What is Lemax about?
For sure. Okay. Lemax is a software as a service Croatian company. We are founded in Croatia. We are based in Croatia in terms of offices, but we are operating worldwide. So we have customers worldwide. We are focused on one industry. So travel and tourism is our main focus. And we are basically transforming the multi-day tour industry by automating their business processes from end to end, so they can actually focus their time and energy on what they really exist for, and that is to provide unique experience for the travelers. So our focus is to develop and to sell and to implement, to give a support to tourist agencies and tour operators with a solution, with the software that we are doing, and of software is end-to-end solution for this industry. So we are vertical software as a service focused on this niche only. So This is maybe a difference between a lot of software as a service companies. We are focused on the industry, and that is, let's say, basic information about the company. If you need more, tell me.
Okay. So travel industry, and then 2020. Doesn't really go well together, does it?
Yes, it doesn't go well. If somebody, when we were creating a strategy for 2020, nobody actually knew that there will have to be a strategy for pandemics itself. So it was, I think worldwide, it was something quite new, quite shocking, and nobody actually can have a plan for this. It's something that happened overnight. So the thing that we are oriented on one industry had a big impact, since the travel industry itself is really hit hard. There were, over the night, you didn't have bookings, you didn't have flights. So basically the whole world, let's say, stopped. So it was quite a shock. From the terms of us as a company, it didn't hit us hard in terms of that we need to think about, let's say, some black scenarios, laying off people and so on, because of the previous years and our results from previous years, which were really good. And also because of this software as a service as a model. So basically, our results do not depend only on acquiring new customers, but on the existing ones and renewals of their licenses and so on. So this was our internal story. In that moment, we somehow had to focus on our customers. How are they? What will happen? But all of this in very, I would say, over the night moment. And the second, with a lot of uncertainty, when is the end? So this is somehow what happened at the beginnings, I would say. And a lot of questions in terms of safety, security. In total, pandemics as a topic brought us topics about health, safety, and security. But when you are working in a company which is focused on the industry that is over the night, let's say gone, not totally, but at the end gone, and at the beginnings, you don't know what will happen. Will this recovery start with 6 months, 1 year, 2 months, when? So it was quite shocking and challenging from the management point of view as well.
Well, I can imagine, but you had years of growth.
Yep.
And plans obviously to go for even further as a business, and then overnight all that goes out the window. What did that kind of mean for you from a people and culture perspective within the organization? Mm-hmm. What impact mm-hmm. has that had on you, on the people within the organization mm-hmm. from that? Because as you mm-hmm. said, not necessarily you didn't have to worry about it straight away, about potentially yeah. going under, but yeah. I'm guessing the lack of visibility of when this will end, when yeah. can we kind of start recovering yeah. from this, mm-hmm. must have had an impact and must have been yeah. on people's yeah. minds. So I'm really keen to find out mm-hmm. how you dealt with that.
Yes, it had an impact, but you said good, it didn't have an impact, I would say, immediately, since we tried to communicate the state that we are, our results in terms of financial results. So we at the beginning, we didn't have to focus on this, and we somehow tried with communication to say, okay, you don't have to worry, we are here, we exist, we have projections on our results, and there is no need to think, okay, tomorrow we will not exist. That is no scenario. And what the people understand from the previous years, especially those who were for the longer time in the company, they understand that we are in the industry that has a huge, huge potential, and that it has potential for growth. And this is something the previous years also showed in terms of our results. But this uncertainty of not knowing when this will end and how long will this pause button needs to be on, definitely brought up questions. Okay, should I change the industry? Is it safer for me to go in some industry that maybe now pandemics helped boost our growth? And certain people did that decision, not maybe immediately, but also during this period of 18 months, as you said. What we try to do is communicate a lot, communicate company-wide, individually, on the team basis. So basically, basically all the worries and frustrations and questions that are maybe on the hallways, we try to tackle them and to answer them. I would like to mention one additional thing that also happened in Croatia, which also affected our people a lot, is that we went to lockdown on March 16, as far as I remember, but on March 20th, in Zagreb, there was a big earthquake. And this is another big thing that affected, I would say, such psychological state of all of us in terms of, okay, not only pandemics, but will I have a roof under my head tomorrow? And fear of also losing a house, losing somebody in your family somehow doubled. So it was suddenly pandemics and suddenly, is there a new earthquake coming soon? So it was double, I would say, worry that at the beginning, people were focused on families, on health, on their own state. And those at the later stage, questions about profession, about business, about is my future here or I should go somewhere else, somehow appeared, were on the table. Yeah.
Wow. So in quick succession, in a week or two apart, two massive shakes, quakes, one literal, one a bit more. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm actually kind of lost words. When you mentioned that, it did come back to me. I did hear about it when obviously everything was happening and there was an earthquake in Croatia last March. But I did not piece the two together. But you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. This is an additional massive element to look out for in terms of the kind of the psychological safety what people are afraid of. It's not just livelihood from a jobs perspective, but also kind of how does this impact my life, my health? The pandemic itself was already at that stage a very massive unknown. What does this mean for me? What does this mean for my family? You know, how deadly is this thing? We really did not know. And on top of that, then you've got the earthquake, which again magnifies that drastically. Mm-hmm. Did you notice when these things were happening, as you were going through this, have you noticed any kind of patterns emerging in how people were reacting, what they needed in terms of support from the organization?
Well, I think we all needed this safety surrounding and basically an information that will give me some kind of a peace inside that there is a secure and safe environment and future. So this, I would say, was the highest need from in terms of thinking about the business and about the results that we can have in the future. We noticed definitely the patterns and the needs about all the topics about security and safety, let's say, and that is a wide range of topics inside from one, let's say, business point of view. Okay, what will happen with our customers? Will those customers that we currently have tomorrow will not be our customers because their businesses will have to close? Or what is the time frame where we can acquire new projects that, for instance, me as a project manager, if I joined the company, let's say 6 months ago, I joined with a purpose to implement and to lead projects. And suddenly I'm in the environment where there is decreased number of projects that I can do. So my purpose is basically shaked here. So safety in terms of business results, purpose of my work, I would say. And on the other hand, safety in terms of health. So give me a choice to choose an environment where I feel I'm can do my job properly, but I also have a feeling that I'm safe. So for instance, connected with the topic with the earthquake, some of the people didn't feel maybe so comfortable to be at their home, depending on the location where they live. They had a bigger need to be in the office or opposite, whatever the personal individual point of view is.
Okay. And from a company point of view, how did you go about supporting them? What could you do in that situation from a company point of view?
Okay, from company point of view, one of the things that we needed to do is first think about our customers and not at the first point on ourselves, which is natural, I would say. They are the ones who are, I would say, damaged. They need support. Previously, we had a discussion about upselling, about needs, about how can we support them. And then overnight, you have a discussion with a customer where they are crying on the phone because five of their colleagues needed to leave the company because they cannot afford that cost anymore. So over the night, they were focused from what do I need to what our customers need. And I think this made some kind of a psychological effect of, okay, we are focused on their needs, on the support. Of course, this is more common in those roles that are customer facing. That's for sure. So in that point, we were focused on how should we help them to help our customer. So this was one of the lines. The other thing that we tried to do is this frequent communication. And in one point, I would say it's in the middle of this phase, I had a moment when I was thinking, oh my God, we need to communicate more. We need to communicate more. It's not enough. I'm somehow end up in one really down phase in terms of my own condition. But then I try to write down how many communication and what were the topics in the last 6 or 9 months, and then end up with an average of once in 2 weeks, a communication top down from our CEO, from management about what is happening, what is on the market, what do we see, how are our customers, what do we know about them, how is our current projects going, which we are implementing in that moment from previous years that we acquired, and so on. So a lot of communication and a lot of showing small progresses, which previously maybe was not so much on the table. So we have a new project, we implemented new project. So somehow this was a time frame, but now we needed to extract and talk about small steps and small wins and effect on the perception of people that we are moving forward, although external win is not here to somehow make a stamp on that.
And I'm interested in what you said at the start, that you kind of wanted to, your focus was on the customers, and uh-huh. you're thinking about how you can support your people to support your customers, kind of taking that uh-huh. route, which does make sense. Were you curious to know what the reaction for people inside of Amex was to do it that way, to focus on the customers, specifically the people who you said that are not necessarily customer facing, because they might find a little uh-huh. bit less uh-huh. More natural in that position to do that. But what about people kind of behind the scenes? Uh-huh. What did you notice about them?
So there is a definitely difference between reactions and feelings among those who are customer facing as there are those who are back the scenes. So there was a difference. If you're asking me for those who are back the scenes, they didn't feel it that way. They were still more focused about what is my need than the customer need, which is quite natural, I would say, in that moment. So what happened, and I can connect that dots now from this stage backwards, definitely easier than in that certain moment. What happened on the one side, we were focused on our customers because really they need really help, they need support. And from the other hand, we have problems that are here through the years, but suddenly they become more visible and they come on the surface because people are focused on, okay, what do I need? What is something that causes a frustration on my table? And will anybody do something about that? And this is something that I read in one research recently, is that the same culture and the same values are perceived more negatively in the environment where you don't have external wins and somehow progress. And this is actually what happens. So on the one side, focus on customers. On the other side, okay, I have some pains. Something is disturbing. Should we do something about that? We knew that for us as a company, this phase is painful, but it's an opportunity to focus on the inside as well. Not only on the customers and supporting them, but also to, I would say, fix some of the things that we knew that throughout the years, throughout the growth, we need to put that aside. So some kind of a management and technical depth in growing company, that it always exists. That's common, that's business. But in the moment where there is a pause button in terms of the market, okay, now all the lights are somehow focused on the inside. And that was quite interesting and in some phases quite challenging thing to manage, in terms of, especially in terms of the problems that were visible now.
So now, looking backwards, what have you learned from that, and how would you have done it differently now that you know that, most of all?
How would I done? We as an organization, or are you asking me as an HR maybe?
Oh, I'm going to say both, I'll let you pick which one you want to answer.
How we would done it differently? First thing that comes on my mind is, when you are making certain change can happen either if you are in some problems, so you're changing a state the way, or we are doing something. Change can be we are reorganizing our teams. Change can be, okay, we're not focusing on that market now, on some other market. So any type of change. And in this phase, we had a lot of changes because we were experimenting with some of the things. We were improving internal processes, and then you're experimenting. We are experimenting maybe with some of the set teams, how are they set up and how are the roles defined in this stage. So my biggest learning is, when there is a certain change, it's easier for people if they know what will happen next and why is this happening. I would say that in some of the changes, we did this by the book, but in some of the changes, we just end up in this tunnel and the change is happening. And you basically don't understand that you're in the middle of change itself until the change ends. And then you can go look backwards and say, okay, in this moment, we should communicate this, we should talk to this person, and so on, because you can see it more with more clear head in that moment. So my first learning, understand what actually change is happening and try to see what will be the next step, so you can guide people through the change, not just that the change happened itself, because it's normal. Each change needs to have frustration moment, needs to have depression moment, needs to have acceptance moment, you know, that common phases of change itself. So this is a first learning. And the second learning is also something that I read in one of the articles and helped me understood, is beyond fighting with the virus itself, is basically fighting with our heads and with our minds and with our psychological states. So especially for those who are leading, you need to somehow refresh yourself, try to refresh yourself, be stable as much as you can, and take more moments for refreshing and for centralizing yourself than in the good times. And this is something for me as from the, let's say, management point of view, also have a team that I lead. It was, I would not say that it was so clear for me that I need to take a break somehow to have an aerial view, because you are within each day, you are in different topics, and it's hard to go out of that. That would be second learning. And let's stop there. I have more, but maybe it's enough.
Fantastic learnings. I definitely agree with that. And the last thing that you said actually kind of brings me back to the what we discussed earlier, and that was around people identifying their needs and mm-hmm. realizing what's going on for them. And one thing I did notice throughout the pandemic, in myself but in people around me, is that we all of a sudden, we've got no distractions. We've got the usual distractions, and I'll explain what I mean by distractions. Okay. Is when we often kind of distract ourselves, not addressing certain issues, certain things that we want to do, certain problems that we have in our lives, and we distract ourselves by going to the cinema, going to a concert, going out with friends, going partying, doing whatever, which in itself, it's an important element of socializing and being a human being, absolutely meeting your needs. But often, rather than just sitting, reflecting, meditating, doing whatever, we do go out. We go out for that coffee. We go out, you know, we say, oh, well, I need this. And of course, yes, you do. But it's about that balance. And all of a sudden, when the pandemic struck and everything went into lockdown, we didn't have that. We had to sit metaphorically, mm-hmm. with our demons, whatever they are.
For
your religion.
Yeah.
And if you live if you live alone, mm-hmm. that was tough. If you live with a partner, with your family, that's tough mm-hmm. as well, but in a different way. Maybe there were issues in the relationship that you were in where you're living together, but you constantly kept sweeping under the carpet. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, what are you going to do? You're stuck. This is as close as being locked together in a prison cell as it gets. Fight or flight. What do you do? But even if you're on a flight, in a lot of cases, you couldn't have done that, right? I've still been meaning, I don't know whether you know, I've been meaning to look up the divorce rates as a result of the pandemic, how they panned out. Because initially, I think it was in China or Japan last year, there was an increase. A very, very mm-hmm. big spike over a period of a couple of weeks, which is associated with the fact that the lockdown ended. The divorces or the divorce office, but the place where you kind of get divorced reopened. And that's where, because everybody was filing in their application, which is an interesting connotation. But I've been meaning to read up on it a little bit further. Mm-hmm. But why do I talk about this? It's about addressing these needs and understanding what it is that's going on for us. And we were forced to do that in our organizations as well of, okay, let's shine a light. Well, the line has been shown actually now on the stuff that we're maybe not doing so well, and this is actually the opportunity for us to address it. And then obviously on the leader's side, how have you noticed, actually maybe let's form it to a question, what have you noticed about the leaders, team leaders, senior leaders, executive leaders in at Lemax, in how they lead people, how they approach leading people?
I would say that we all had learnings throughout this phase and somehow realizing, okay, this work and it doesn't work, but more through trial and errors, unfortunately, than to, I would say, prepared approach. And so there are a lot of things that I would say from leader point of view that we also understood, okay, this should be done differently. Also, unfortunately, looking backwards. Also, definitely, okay, there are some things that we do intentionally, that's for sure. But I would say changing my own behavior here is something that I'm learning through talking with people, through, okay, listening their own frustration, and then thinking, okay, is the, let's say, my weekly meeting with my team should look differently now, or I should do, should I change something just to tackle those needs? So, for instance, one example from practice is that some of the meetings, for instance, that I had in my team were not connected to the topics, to the activities that we are handling, but okay, how do you feel? And basically for 30 minutes about how do you feel, at the end, those managers and myself sometimes came home and said, okay, I'm enough talking, I cannot listen anymore, just give me some robots to work with and I will be happy. Of course, tomorrow is another day and another story, but it was definitely exhausting, especially if you don't manage yourself on a proper way, which is connected with this that you mentioned previously. Before pandemics, we managed ourselves somehow through the external factors. Okay, my friend is going to the gym, I'm going as well. I'm going on a coffee with a friend or something. Now, suddenly, you're all alone with your head and with your demons, as you said. So those, how I would say, who don't manage themselves maybe on some good level or don't refresh themselves often, had a struggle in terms of managing people as well, because you have to have a balance inside of you so you can take care of others. That's something that we all know, but in practice it's hard to. So all in all, I wouldn't say that some management practices changed a lot. We had some common things that we have even before in terms of communicating, in terms of our goals and so on. But what happened is this management of emotions more expressively than maybe before, and with difference among various managers, that's for sure. And what happened is this, that we are entering certain change and that we as managers somehow don't somehow realize that, okay, we are in the middle of change. Okay, let's step back and let's lead old steps. So we had to learn how to lead changes in the middle of the change itself. So this is, I would say, two things from the management point of view. And maybe this is more my own thinking than a collective collective conclusion from the management point of view.
I think you've mentioned and confirmed other things that I've been seeing as well. And it's that, mm-hmm. that shift from managers going more into kind of coaches, talking a lot more about, okay, mm-hmm. how are you doing? You know, what's going on for you? What's happening in your world? Mm-hmm. Tell me, what can we do? Rather than, you know, the classic one-on-one where you actually go through a list of tasks of more updates on a project, which I mm-hmm. so disagree with. That is beyond belief. For me, a one-to-one is to have a conversation. Okay, yeah. How are you doing? What's in it? You know, that coaching element. Yeah. One-to-one for me is for coaching. Yeah. Anything else in terms of where we are with a project, do it in Slack, do it over email, have a separate meeting, right? You've got mm-hmm. dedicated time to talk, not to talk about work specifically, but talk mm-hmm. about the individual in relation to work mm-hmm. through the lens of work, however you want to look at that.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that you've mentioned about the kind of self-leadership element of mm-hmm. individuals. And it brings the cliche to mind of you have to put on your mask on first before you can put on somebody else's on an airplane, right? Yeah. When they always say that. And that is so true.
Yeah. And one practical, let's say, I would say, example that help us in this moment is that we, during this phase, we also implemented internal team lead development program, okay, to tackle certain skills that the leaders in total had. And this was happening through all the time. But also what we implemented is individual consultation, let's say, individual slot where you can, okay, come and talk to internal person. This is a person working in my department, handling this team lead development program, having coaching skills and background in this area. So naturally, or learned more skillful for doing this and for advising how to approach some situations. And this is something that support us to support live situations. So for instance, if a manager has a one-on-one meeting tomorrow, but he has a person in the team that is frustrated, is not happy or whatever, he can come and knock to the door. Okay, tell me what to do or give me a support. How should I approach that? So we had moments where we can affect on that. And they knew that each time they can ask for help for some situations. So this is something that I'm really proud of.
This gives us creates a nice segue to another thing that we've mentioned and that I'm really interested in, and that is the form you ask every new starter to fill in when they join the company. Could you tell us a little bit more about what that form is and whether that actually has changed in any way as a result of the pandemic? Have you added anything or removed anything from it?
You're now thinking of the how to lead document, which I mentioned previously. Okay, just to understand, are we talking about the same thing? Yeah, this is a practice that we implemented previously. So it's called, okay, how should you lead me? Give me as an employee will give you some of the tips and tricks because I'm an individual. I have my strengths, I have my weaknesses, I have my needs. And especially I have my needs if I have previous experience in the organization where I had some frustrations, and now I know and understand that I do not want to have it in my new system. So what we give to new employees to fill in the first weeks and month is so-called how to lead me document, which consists of those things that I just mentioned and consists of key strengths documents. So can you give me an example? What do you think that your strengths are, no matter of what position you are doing currently in the organization? And what skill set do we actually, and knowledge do we actually need for that position? But maybe you have something that we didn't even ask you in the interview. And that is something that we as a company will benefit also from. We didn't change this practice in the pandemic's time. I just think it may be, and of course, there are differences between departments, but it somehow managed to brought up this strengths topic on the surface as well, because we are trying to make a mindset shift that people are thinking about their own strengths, that we as leaders thinking about strengths of the individual, of the team, of the organization. And what also happened in the last 18 months is that more than 15% of our employees had a chance to switch to another role, no matter is it in the hierarchy on an upper level or in the other department, but actually it is connected with the strengths that the person itself has and that the need that currently business has. So I think we managed to connect those two. But if previously we didn't have this thinking about strengths in total, I think this would be really harder to achieve. So this is one practice that I think it's good because it shifts focus from what do we as organization need to do for you to develop and for you to be happy tomorrow in and today and tomorrow in our organization. And somehow shifting, okay, you have the microphone as well. So you should be the one who should tell me, okay, this frustrates me, but you don't even know. Or this is something that don't wait till the end. You have your future somehow in your hands. This is also some fluffy sentence that always it's stated somewhere. But at the end, it is true. And all that practice, I think it helps us to form a certain culture. There's always a things that I would like to do more and more and more to be even more satisfied with that. But it really is good example on focusing on strengths rather than on weaknesses. And especially in the pandemic's time, let's don't talk only about frustrations, only about weaknesses, only about problems. This will not get us anywhere.
couldn't agree more. And I love the practice. I love that form, mostly because I'm a massive believer in providing people a blueprint to or a map of some sort so they can understand us better. And not just at work, even in how we communicate, right? We often fall into this trap of, they should have known. She should have known that about me. So, and my question is, how should they have known that, right?
Yeah.
If they never seen that side of you, how could they know that? If they met you for the third time, how could they know that? They can't. Yeah. It's on us to provide other people with that map, with that blueprint, so they can understand this and how we communicate and how we can what we need, what we don't need, what we like, what we don't like. Mm-hmm. Providing that feedback. Mm-hmm. It's so tough, but it's so important.
And it's hard, I would say, for all of us to express ourselves. We don't know that until we somehow face some live situations. And previously, maybe we had a certain picture of ourselves. But now when you have practical examples, practical problems or activities that you do, you somehow can see yourself in a different lights. So it's good to remind ourselves and somehow to develop ourselves through that activity. And I think it's really important that we all understand that my personal development is also in my hands. Okay, I have to be in the organization where the system itself will provide me opportunity to grow, to develop, to learn, whatever. But in one of the previous organizations that I worked, there was a lot of information on exit interviews when people said, okay, but you didn't provide me with any kind of education. You didn't do anything. And my question, okay, but what did you do? And that's the question that usually shocks the other side. Okay, should I do something? I should do something? Okay, how come? So we're trying to work on the mindset actively all the time.
It's easy to point fingers. And I like the practice of if you want to point a finger, point that finger. But first, point it at yourself.
Yeah.
And see what comes up. And then if you still feel the need to point at others, then do that. Because that pointing of fingers will be then far more informed because you've taken ownership of stuff that you needed to do or you should have done maybe before kind of blaming other people. We're coming up to the end of 2021. 2020 has been tough. 2021, I'm guessing, might have been similar, maybe a little bit better. What have you got going on in the months to come at Lemax? What does the future hold for you that you want to plan for?
Well, it's good that we are now already using post-pandemic as a term. It's actually a term, and it's so good that it's a term. So I think this has a psychological effect, definitely, in terms of optimism. What we are focused on is, of course, new wins in terms of new projects, in terms of actually seeing that this industry is making a progress that we knew that it needs to happen, but now it's in upcoming months and years, it's something that will prove. So tourism as industry needs to digitalize, to automate the process, and they need to go through this process. So this is something that we are here to looking forward to actively be involved. And from the organizational point of view, what will happen is connecting the dot in terms of my own purpose as a team, my own purpose as an individual in this post-pandemic phase, or I would say a new phase. So this pause button in the upcoming months will be stopped, I would say, and we will focus on the play button now to press it. And the purpose of certain departments and roles that were missed in the last period, now that is changing, and that is really refreshing feeling. So we will focus on the growth, but not forgetting what needs to be done to remain stable and sustainable in the long term.
Any initiatives that you're planning that you really can't wait to either implement to see the results of on the people side and culture side?
Wide range of activities, but I cannot recall one that I would step out. This development is all the time going around, so maybe it will be interesting to see how new development focuses we can tackle new development focuses for, let's say, the new stage. All the time we are focusing on attracting and hiring new talents that will help us to go fulfill the new stage, I would say, of Lemax. So nothing specifically here to nothing point specific. Out.
I'm sure it will be one of the situations where we finish recording and then you'll go like, I should have mentioned that.
These three things.
It happens.
That's for sure.
It can be a bit of a broad question, but I do like to ask that because it's always interesting to what people have coming up and what they're looking forward to. And sometimes it is the small things. We think about these grand initiatives, then forgetting about something as simple as creating a how to lead me form, which it sounds so simple, but for me it's groundbreaking for a lot of organizations because it's something that is missing. And it doesn't have to, you know, if you can do any strengths tests and personality tests to support that, great, even better, because that will give the individual more insight into how they are, how they operate, what makes them tick, and then they can kind of provide that onto that form, I guess, because not only will they get that information, but they'll process it and reflect on it and then produce something new. And then present that to the manager, rather than the manager's just reading you know, MBTI results and whatever, which is handy, but obviously not as handy as the person that this is on or about, processing, reflecting, digesting, and kind of saying, so this is me. Yasmina, it's been an absolute joy having you on. I'm looking forward to learning how things pan out for you over the coming years, but I'm sure everything will be absolutely fine, everything will be great, and you seem to be having a lot of funny and creative initiatives that I'm sure will bring a lot of benefit to Lemax.
Thank you for having me and for listening to me and asking all the questions and being interesting in the topic, so thanks a lot.
It's me again. Just one more thing before you take off. Head over to human.pm/we-got-this. That's all one word, where you can find this and previous episodes' show notes, suggest a guest or topic, ask a question, or join the community of other listeners. Until next time.